Holmes led me with the accuracy of a homing pigeon through a white haze out of which trees drifted like gigantic submarine fauna. Finally, he came upon a spot where two policemen sat playing cards over the sad, torn body of one of our city's street musicians. "Evening, Mr. Holmes," they chorused. "Good evening, officers. Now, Watson, your medical training will almost certainly draw your attention to the body's non-possession of a head. What I wish to know is, what removed that head so swiftly and so irrevocably?" I examined the poor corpse as thoroughly as I could. "I've seen something similar to this at only one point in my career," I said. "An Indian mugger, not a man, but a crocodile, which caused a commotion in our billet in Peshawar. One night, one of our subalterns, answering the call of nature by the waterside, was seized about a part of his anatomy I dread to name by the scaly abomination. 16 rifle bullets were needed to kill it, by which time the unfortunate officer was long dead. The brutes have jaws capable of cracking a man's ribcage like an egg."
Interesting.
"And what do you suppose did this?" "Something, I would hazard a guess, with bigger jaws." Holmes was striding out across the frozen grass, tapping his heel with his cane impatiently. "So, what do you suppose has bigger jaws than a crocodile?" "I have no idea. An extraordinarily large lion escaped from a zoo, perhaps? Come here, Watson." I walked closer. Holmes was standing over something, an impression in the turf. "There. What do you imagine that is?" I looked. Then I stared. "It's a footprint, Watson," said Holmes. "It is the footprint of a gigantic 10,000-pound theropod from hell." 10 minutes later, I was staring at Holmes as though he were the starkest madman. A megalosaurus? "The very same. You know my maxim. When you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be, etc., etc." I began to feel somewhat light-headed. "Holmes, the megalosaurus has been extinct for nearly 200 million years. "Not so, Watson." At this point, Holmes fished out a stack of books and papers he had been concealing in his trombone case and began flicking frantically through a periodical. I considered all the animals that currently exist in the world and are capable of killing a man, and eliminated them one by one from my inquiries. The leopard lacked the sheer height to attack from above, unless concealed in a tree, and I could find no claw marks in the bark of any tree hereabouts. The elephant, meanwhile, whilst possessing sufficient elevation, would gore or trample in preference to biting. Finally, I concluded that the attacker was an animal unrecognized by conventional zoology. Therefore, I switched from zoology to paleontology. The characteristic dual puncture wounds of a saber-toothed tiger attack were not present, nor were the six-fold blunt contusions that would indicate a charging Uintatherium. I went through 10 heavy tomes at the British Museum before I alighted on my culprit. A megalosaurus had performed this crime. A huge Jurassic beast moving on powerful three-clawed feet and with a mouth like a cavernous stalactite. I know what you will say, Watson. Nowhere on earth does a megalosaurus currently exist. But there are reports from the Belgian Congo of creatures that resemble a stegosaurus more than a stegosaurus's maiden aunt. And in addition, there are the remarkable accounts which I now commend to you. He had found the pages he had been looking for and set to reading aloud enthusiastically. "Proceedings of the London Zoological Institute, June 13, 1917, an address to be delivered by Professor Challenger to a general assembly of all members regarding extraordinary discoveries recently made in a high tributary of the Amazon." Oh, that was all poppycock, totally discredited. The expedition brought back no evidence of the existence of living dinosauria in the Amazon whatsoever. You must remember, Watson, but the generally accepted public account of the expedition is that of Mr. Edward Malone of the Daily Gazette, admonished Holmes. But I have recently been across the Channel to purchase Professor Challenger's own version of events, and it makes most enlightening reading. As you know, the Professor's account was savaged by Her Majesty's censors, only a few select copies making their way here across the Channel after having had to be published in France. He switched to a different